huge issue. I'm in full support of this.
Thank you for taking the time to come in. And you raise a really good point, because some of the earlier comments we've heard are about the Affordable Health Care Act. If people can't actually go to their primary care physician, it's not going to be more cost effective. And so that's your own experience telling us the numbers that you saw in each place. Thank you very much. That's very helpful.
Thank you.
Afternoon, Mayor and council members and citizens. My name is Brian Barnett. I work with the Freedom Socialist Party in Portland. The Freedom Socialist Party is a socialist feminist political party and advocates for the rights of workers and those suffering the most under capitalism. Although what workers need is universal health care, this resolution is an important step forward. As a temp worker well over retirement age, I grapple with no sick pay. I also work in a situation where I'm crammed in a van with 10 or 12 other people of a crew of 20 to 30, and one sick person can spread to them and their families, plus the other 50 workers. It's like a domino effect. So that's what we've been talking about. But if I don't work for whatever reason, illness, family injury, emergency, or doctor appointments, I lose out. And my already low and tenuous income takes a hit. It's hard enough for me, even without kids, to lose a day's wages in order to recover from a cold or make a health appointment scheduled months in advance. And then when no work is available and I'm sick, I also do not qualify for unemployment compensation for a whole week. So the one day I lose a whole week. Many workers face the same situation as me, and even though meager, the sick pay from this revolution is significant to us all. So I urge the council to move forward with Councilor Fritz's resolution and make this important improvement for the most vulnerable workers in our city, especially single parents.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Questions? Thank you all.
Next four are Casey Jama, Kamso Shura, Nicole Brown, and Carla Hernandez. They'll be followed by Peter Tavazzi, Steve Hughes, Teresa McGrath, and Tim Finn.
Welcome.
Good evening, Mayor Charlie Hells and commissioners. My name is Casey Jama. I am the executive director of the Center for Intercultural Organizing. Center for Intercultural Organizing is a grassroots organization working to build multiracial, multi-ethnic movement for immigrant refugee rights. Our members come from 68 different countries, including United States. Last year, we provided from full-time to part-time to one-day job to about 43 Oregonians in our organization. We provide full 100% premium coverage for our healthcare. And also, we provide unlimited sick days. Our staff, they qualified for having sick days from the day one that they arrive in our office because we believe we value our community members. If they come first day and second day they get sick, they don't lose wages. They still earn their paid because we value. So we're very unique. What I also want to share with you is that because of that, we have one of the most dedicated, active, engaged staff members. Nobody abuses our system. Employees call each other, contact each other, work together to figure out how the work's being done when somebody calls sick, and they support each other in that process. But they also understand that the company that they work for cares them. During the summer, we convene a small immigrant refugee community members to address this issue and see what how they're feeling about this issue. Almost 100% of people who attended our forum agreed that they have to choose between putting a food at the table, caring a sick child, or going to work themselves sick. They all told us that this is an important issue for them. And also actually they realized that they said a lot of times they have no choice, and they know other community members who are facing the same scenario. So in that sense, we are really connected to this issue. We care about this issue. We're really working together with our coalition, and we are looking forward to you to make sure that all Oregonians have, all Portlanders have actually this opportunity to get their sick days. And please do not delay for one day more, because it's a justice issue, it's an equity issue, and we're looking forward to working with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. I would really appreciate getting the data on your employees as to what the maximum number of sick days anybody took last year, what the average is with 43 employees. That's an unusual policy, and I appreciate you telling us about it.
Thank you.
Hi. Welcome.
Button?
Oh, it's on. It's on.
Oh, it's okay. Hello, my name is Nicole Brown. And I also work for the Center for Intercultural Organizing. I'm an organizer there. But before the last 6 months that I've had the pleasure to work at CIO, I worked for 10 years in the restaurant industry. I'm an excellent waitress. And to ask your question, Commissioner Novick, I am that person that worked sick on many occasions. I have served thousands of people while sick. There's kind of an unspoken restaurant culture that you're kind of not even supposed to take sick days. I mean, I've talked to many of my friends who are waiters and waitresses, and that's kind of, it's just unspoken. We're really, the staff is stretched thin, and I just want to address switching shifts. Many times when you wake up sick and your shift is in an hour or 2 hours, you don't have the opportunity to call your coworkers, and other times you're asking your friend and coworker to take a day, one of their only days off, to cover for you. So, you know, I just think that that's an unacceptable answer. And as an example of waking up sick, which happens so often, one day, you know, I woke up, I was supposed to work a double 12-hour shift, lunch and dinner, woke up at 9, my shift's at 11, I called my employer, I could barely speak, and the answer to me was, well, I was on my way to the doctor, I said, I think I have strep throat, I'm going to go to the doctor, and it was, okay, well, if you don't have strep throat, we'll see you at 11. I worked half of my shift. And then about 5, I was like, okay, I don't think I can make it through the other half of this dinner, speaking, serving food, et cetera. So that's my experience as an employee, as a restaurant worker for many years in Portland. And through my work that I have pleasure and honor that I've had to work with hundreds of immigrant and refugee families from all over the world here in Portland, I also just want to echo, we've talked a lot about mothers and fathers. And I've just seen so many families that, you know, they're lucky to have one person on a minimum wage job. And we're not talking about one or two kids. We're talking about sometimes 5 or 6 kids, particularly in refugee families. They're brought here, and that's their only option. So, you know, I just want to really echo that voice. Those are thousands of people in this city that are so often forgotten. So thank you very much. I urge you. And I also want to introduce our member who's so gracious to come and share her experience and the experience of her sister. So I'm going to let Kamsa take it away.
My name is Kamsa Shura. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm a part-time employee and full-time mother. I'm here to share what happened to my sister recently through her work. She was sick and went to work, and they did not give her her break or lunch on time. She was dehydrated, and so she called an employee so she could go home. They didn't allow her to go home because they say they don't have anybody. And she ended up in a hospital. She fainted at the job. She passed out at the job. Likely one of the customer would happen to be a nurse there. And they called an ambulance for her, and they took her to the hospital. She was there for about 6 hours. We don't know where she was the whole time. Nobody contact us. And I was with her, actually tried to call her on the phone, and she didn't answer the whole time. And this is what happened to her, and I hope this thing will be addressed. And if she would know that she could get paid in the beginning, she wouldn't go to work. And she also lost her wage. She also almost about to lost her life, which ended up with another bill. And thank you for the opportunity, and I hope this thing will be resolved. And this is happening to a lot of people. It just happened to be not speaking out, and people are losing a job over this, and with the family and everything. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much for being here.
The next four, I believe Peter Tovazi has left. We'll go with Steve Hughes. Oh, sorry, he is here. Peter Tovazi, Steve Hughes, Teresa McGrath, and Tim Finn. And following them will be Catherine Yale,
I second.
Doesn't matter. Anywhere's fine. Okay. Felisa Higgins, Mel Rader, and Midge Purcell.
Welcome, please.
Mayor Hales, City Commissioners. My name is Peter Tofalvi. I am co-owner of Ebecus Energy Solutions. I serve on the board of the Home Performance Guild of Oregon. At Ebecus, we have 10 full-time employees. We do the right thing for them. We provide a starting wage of $16.97 for entry-level field personnel. We pay 100% of the employees' healthcare premium and 50% of their family members' premium. Further, we provide short-term and long-term disability insurance, 4 paid holidays, and not 40, but 80 hours of paid time off per year. We call this the high road approach to business. What we get in return is a lower employee turnover and a strong support from community groups. Unions, churches, synagogues, and environmental groups promote our services to their members. They do that because we care. We are building the kind of economy Portland needs, jobs that sustainably support a family and provide dignified living. Unfortunately, this triple bottom line approach to doing business is currently a niche rather than the standard. We bid against competitors that pay minimum wage and give no benefits to their employees. They can easily underbid our prices. To guarantee an equal playing field to those that do the right thing, it is most appropriate that the city mandates paid sick leave. Please consider the following. Those that receive minimum wage and no healthcare benefits need more paid time off than well-paid employees, as their living circumstances are less stable. They often cannot afford to maintain a car, and it takes them longer to take care of their medical and legal issues. They cannot afford to hire childcare while their children are sick. In case of an illness, their recovery tends to take longer. I know it's one of the goals to keep the rules simple. However, to live up to the spirit of this ordinance, this proposal, wage and benefit levels need to be factored in. Companies that provide lower wage and benefit levels or the bare minimum should be mandated to provide more PTO or earned sick leave than those that provide better compensation packages. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Hales and members of the council. My name is Steve Hughes. I'm the state director of the Oregon Working Families Party. We're a grassroots independent political party focused on bread and butter economic issues. Before I get to my abbreviated remarks, I'd just like to actually acknowledge the hard work of our chair of the Working Families Party, Jeff Anderson, from the United Food and Commercial Workers, who's been a real leader on this, and having spoken to many of his members, many of whom are in the room and sitting here with me today, this is an issue that really cuts to the core for food service workers in particular. I just want to speak briefly to the one piece of the process that maybe has been overlooked so far, which is the significant level of outreach that has gone on to just everyday Portlanders as part of this campaign, which we have been involved with for over a year. We were part of a coordinated effort that has knocked on just shy of 40,000 doors here in the city of Portland, talking to everyday Portlanders about this policy. We've generated thousands of phone calls, and some of you have gotten those calls. But the point is that there's been a lot of outreach, and the people we're talking to see this policy as simply common sense. Vast majority thereof. So I just want to address some of the things that have come up in terms of process, having been involved in this campaign for a while, having seen some of the other efforts around the country. The San Francisco measure was considered too sweeping. The Seattle one, too complicated. In both cases, the sky has not fallen on either city. And the arguments that are being made against this to slow it down are arguments that go to the state level. I can guarantee that if we were to start by going to the state level, the same people who are opposing this here would be opposing it there. The fact is, winning this in Portland, setting an example, taking a leadership role, helps us pass this statewide, helps the many workers who need this right now. And I understand you're going to continue the process. I just ask you, as you continue with this process, to not forget the voices of working people, who you've heard many of today, but to include them in this ongoing process and to act most expeditiously to get this done. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and commissioners. My name's Teresa McGrath. I've worked in retail and customer service most of my life, and I believe that all workers should be able to earn sick days from the time they start working for a company. We are all exposed to the flu each year, and sometimes even a flu shot doesn't totally protect us. When people have to come to work sick because they can't afford to stay home and recover, they're exposing their fellow employees and their customers if they work with the public. Consider this. The people who serve and prepare our food, care for our children, and the elderly are in the large percentage of workers in Oregon who have no paid sick days from their job, and the list goes on. I worked for a large retail in the Portland area. In November of 2012, I became ill with the flu, but had to go to work because I needed to be paid. On the second day of working, while I was dizzy and nauseated, I made a cash handling error that caused me to be terminated from my job. If I'd been able to take those few days to recover and rest from my illness without loss of income, I would still be employed. By allowing employees to earn paid sick time, employers will increase productivity, save money in the long run, and employees are less likely to spread their illness to coworkers and customers. It's clear that everyone benefits when workers earn paid sick days. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Welcome.
I'd like to thank the City Council and Mayor for giving me the chance to express my thoughts today. My name is Tim Finn. I'm here today with the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, Local 555. I work in the deli department at Fred Meyer's Division Street store. I'll make these comments quick. I came to Portland 16 years ago to attend culinary school and have worked in food service at various locations around the Portland area ever since. In culinary school, before you ever look at a recipe, crack an egg, or slice an onion, the first thing you must learn is food safety and sanitation. Preparing food for the public comes with great responsibilities. Every food service worker I've ever known, and I've known very many, takes the responsibility of protecting their customers' health very seriously. Our jobs and reputations are on the line every time we make you a meal. Our state and local governments have put in place an effective system to make sure that workers are trained and proficient in safely handling food. Restaurants are regularly inspected to ensure their compliance with food safety laws. The system works pretty well. Thankfully, instances of serious foodborne illness are quite rare as a result of these rules and regulations. But the system can be improved. And while you're right to assume that the person preparing your food washed their hands after using the restroom, took the temperature of your entree to make sure it was properly cooked, and make sure that oven cleaner and other chemicals used in your kitchen never came in contact with your food, if that worker is sick, they're still putting you at risk. Why would someone that takes their job seriously and knows the importance of food safety do this? Because they have to. Food service workers like myself don't make much money. Almost all of us live paycheck to paycheck. Most restaurants and food service facilities don't provide paid sick days to their employees. Others that do place unnecessary burdens on employees to collect those benefits. When an employee misses one day of work, they just got a 20% pay cut. Miss a second day and it's a 40% cut. If you miss that third day, your paycheck is now going to be 30 or 60% smaller than normal, and in some places you might find yourself out of a job. For those of us that struggle to simply keep the bills paid and have some food in the cupboard, these pay cuts force us to work when we are sick. I know. I've done it many times. Every food service worker I've known has done it. It happens every day, everywhere from fine dining restaurants to nursing homes to fast food places to commercial food production facilities. When workers can't afford to take the day off to get better, they will come to work sick. I've seen many kitchens where colds or other sickness are passed from worker to worker. If you haven't got it yet, you know that you will. Working like this not only puts the worker in danger, it puts the public in danger. What could be a minor case of a cold or a flu to a 25-year-old guy could be much more serious to an elderly customer, a child, or someone with a weakened immune system. These risks could be vastly reduced by simply putting in place common sense policies that allow workers to stay home when they are sick so they can get better faster and remain productive and effective employees. I'm here today to support paid sick days for all employees. With rising health care costs, placing increasing burdens on business and government, reducing the spread of illness not only makes good sense, it's good for the bottom line. No worker in Portland should have to choose between working sick or paying their rent. Employers should realize that having healthy workers is good for business. Healthy employees are more productive, and consumers in Portland will appreciate that you are treating your employees fairly and working to protect their health. I would like to see a system in place where any employee can receive sick pay from their first day off. I'm 54 years old, and I don't need to go to a doctor to tell me that I have a cold. If I need more than a day or two to get better, certainly some documentation seems reasonable, but making workers wait a day or two or requiring them to provide a doctor's note for a simple cold adds an undue burden and expense to someone that has little or no money to spare. Providing sick pay to workers should be considered a basic right here in the wealthiest country in the world, and Portland should join the rest of the cities that require paid sick days. With income inequity increasing, vulnerable employees need this protection. What it comes down to is respect. Do we respect our workers? Do we respect our customers? Is it important to do what we can to protect the health of our community? I think these things are important, and supporting sick pay for all employees is an effective tool we can use to achieve these goals. Today, on behalf of my union, fellow employees, and food service workers here in Portland, I ask the City Council to support Commissioner Fritz's proposal and put in place a system where all workers receive this basic protection of paid sick days. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you. Next four, please.
Our Mel Rader, I'm sorry, Catherine Yale, Felissa Higgins, Mel Rader, and Midge Purcell. And they'll be followed by the last four who signed up are Ben Martson, Toby Green, Casey Hansen, and Justin Gottlieb.
Welcome. You can go ahead and get started while they're taking care of paperwork.
Good afternoon. My name is Catherine Yale, and I work as a janitor at the Portland International Airport. I'm also the union shop steward for anywhere between 20 to 60 janitors within one day. I speak today in regards to the general public health and safety, and it should be considered beyond crucial and urgent that workers require sick days. Most janitors under SEIU Local 49 make roughly $12.60 an hour before taxes. Many, however, are still getting paid considerably less. And people who make these kinds of wages are becoming more and more so a part of the demographic of people who are living in low income or poverty-stricken lives. And many of us have to come into work because even when we are sick, we can't afford to miss a single day of pay. Just like anyone else, we have familial obligations. We have to pay our bills, and we are contributing members of society. And when it comes to working graveyard, like I am so right now, life longevity and a human's immune system is already severely compromised. In the tough economic times, workers are often too scared to call in sick, even. We are under pressure to be good workers in a place with as many customers as Portland Airport. There is never such a thing as too many janitors. In fact, it's very rare that there are enough janitors to cover one shift. And in addition to high demand of physical labor, without sick days, we suffer even more. So a few examples are, one day a coworker had the flu, nausea and aches, and he still decided to come into work. Before clocking in, he had a meal. After clocking in, instead of filling up the mop bucket on his janitor cart with water, he ended up filling it up with the food that he had eaten before clocking in. Another example, one coworker of mine had a very severe cold that could almost be considered flu-like. And the minute he comes back from his weekend, automatically, 50 janitors and management are exposed to this virus. They all get it. And on top of this, the public is very openly exposed. And just this week, I had spoken with a coworker as I was leaving work, He looked particularly groggy, and I asked how things were going. He further elaborated on liver damage, kidney damage, and symptoms of internal bleeding, and he made it clear that the end of him might not be that far down the road. But he still musters up the strength to come into work and to do his job because he can't afford not to. On top of this, we have people with other chronic conditions such as cancer, hepatitis C. We have one person who has a pacemaker, and the list goes on and on. And 80% of the workforce that I am working with, including myself, is a workforce comprised of people with disabilities. And I am in favor of this proposal. I hope that City Council and voters alike come to a decision that benefits everyone. We need to keep our janitors, our travelers, our citizens, and the general public overall healthy and safe. And sick days are one of the best ways to go about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, especially for coming in when you're working graveyard. That's really hard.
Hi, for the record, my name is Felisa Higgins. I'm the political director for SEIU Local 49. I'm here on behalf of both SEIU locals. You have my written testimony in front of you, so I'm not going to go through that in depth. But there are a couple things I'd like to mention. The first thing is that your security officers who guard your building every day in the building next door to you are listening on the intercom because they currently don't have sick days. And often have come to work ill. Linda Spooler, who actually had to leave and go to work next door at the Portland building, also submitted written testimony for her. She has an incredible story. One of the things she said to me before she left to go to work next door at the Portland building was, "I'm so proud of myself. Through getting breast cancer twice, I only missed 3 days of work from my surgery and one day because of my chemo treatments. Even though I came to work every single day after every single chemo treatment I had." And I thought, what a horrible thing to be proud of. And so as we think through this proposal, I think I've heard a lot of arguments today about why we should wait and why there should be a long process. I hope that you all keep in mind the reasons why you shouldn't wait. Workers in this country have been waiting for years for a proposal like this. And I think that there's many stories that our union has of not only janitors in this building, but the 2,000 janitors throughout the city who've come to work very ill. And so the final thing that I'd like to say is we'd actually like to see the proposal strengthened. We have an outline for that in our public testimony here. We believe that one of the issues with using paid other PTO time in our experience in enforcing our janitorial contract is that this disproportionately affects immigrant workers who have had difficulty using their PTO time generally, but also they plan vacations very long in advance. If your plan is to travel to, we can use the example of, we have a group of Burmese workers who clean at Portland State University. There are 10 of them. It takes 2 weeks to get to have a reasonable 4 days with their family in Burma. So if you're using your PTO for vacation time, you've run out of it for sick time. Also, when you have low-wage workers, they plan those very far in advance because you have to save a lot of money to make that happen. Mm-hmm. So we'd like to see some changes to the proposal, but we're very happy that this discussion is moving forward, and I'm happy to take questions.
Thank you.
If you could possibly send me some examples of some of your contracts as to how many paid time off days particular employees get, if they get any sick days, those kinds of things, that'd be helpful.
Absolutely. We can put together a chart.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Mayor Hales and Commissioner. My name is Mitch Purcell, and I'm the Director of Advocacy and Public Policy for the Urban League of Portland, an organization that serves and advocates for the African American community and others in Portland here for the last 68 years. And I'm here to support the proposed earned sick day ordinance. In the interest of time, I'll try to keep my remarks short. A high proportion of African American workers do not receive paid sick days, 44% of women and nearly 46% of African-American men do not earn paid sick days. In Multnomah County, nearly 30% of African-American families live in poverty, and many of them are working poor. As 20% of black women and 28% of black men are underemployed, and many of them work several jobs. So for these families, living paycheck to paycheck, losing any income due to illness is no small matter. And even a few days of lost pay means having to decide whether they're going to pay the rent, buy groceries, or pay their utility bills. In our community, there's also a challenge of job retention, and too many African Americans in this city feel vulnerable and insecure at work. The Urban League believes that earned sick days can provide additional job security. The risk of job loss due to illness or the need for routine medical care is a very real threat to our communities. And I'll just give you an example. The Urban League receives calls from many of our community members who feel that they've been discriminated against or victimized at work. And one particular case comes to mind where a woman felt that she wasn't welcome in her workplace, but she was determined to stay on that job. She did everything above and beyond the call of duty to appease her supervisor. But when she became so ill that she had to seek emergency care and was out to 2 days, when she returned, she was written up, and within 2 weeks, she was dismissed from her position. No one should be fired, suspended, written up, or penalized by an employer for taking time off work to care for a sick child or family member or to cope with an illness. We do believe that this ordinance is an equity issue. It will reduce the disparity in access to earned sick days and also increase job stability for a very vulnerable population. So we urge you to support and pass the ordinance. Thank you for listening to my testimony.
Thank you, Mitch. Thanks very much. Questions?
Thanks for sticking around.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you very much. We have a few more, is that right?
Are Ben Martson, Toby Green, Casey Henson, and Justin Gottlieb.
Welcome.
Good evening. My name is Casey Hansen. I'm Mayor Hales and Commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity. My name is Casey Hansen. I'm chair of the Multnomah County Democrats. The advantage of going last and almost last is the opportunity to listen attentively and hear what other people have said and then truncate my remarks. So I'll try to do both in the time allotted. I think it bears, and you will have my written testimony. I've included a couple of links. We have San Francisco to look at. And San Francisco has been reviewed and studied, and having affected their sick leave ordinance in 2007, they've had an opportunity to review its success. The Institute for Women's Policy Research report listed has found that employees are not abusing the ordinance in the least. Workers typically report only using 3 sick days in their year prior to the study. You have heard that. But it also goes on to say that 25% of those employees have used 0 sick days. Report co-author Robert Drago said the low utilization rate suggests employees consider paid leave as a form of insurance, something they will use when they are really sick. In another study, the Institute found that following the 2009 H1N1 flu pandemic, national research suggested that more than one quarter of private sector employees who contracted the virus did so because of being exposed to others while sick. In facing the choice of either coming to work ill or the potential wage and or job loss, many workers were left with the poor best alternative of coming and infecting their coworkers. And that link I've also included. You've heard our business owners quite reasonably concerned about their bottom line. They've talked about the global economic crisis, but I submit to you that the lowest wage earners are the ones that have suffered most in our economic crisis. American pay inequity is among the highest in all global and first world nations. This is a small way we can address this. It sets a hallmark. It sets a precedent. this should be a no-brainer to have sick leave for our workers. It should be the normal. And Portland has the potential of setting this precedent along with San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and the other jurisdictions. Thank you for your time.
Ms. Hansen, I think you overlooked another important aspect of the San Francisco experience, which is that the San Francisco Giants are the reigning World Series champions. The San Francisco 49ers are in the Super Bowl.
Oh, let's talk Kaepernick. All right.
There's good luck that goes along with adopting this policy.
That's right. I'm from Reno, too, so I know Colin Kaepernick quite well.
He made some friends, but he made some enemies there, too.
I'm on your team.
Go ahead, please. Yep, you had it right before. Don't push it again.
It was right before.
There we go.
Okay. Thank you for letting us speak today, and thank you for putting forth this really important proposal. My name is Ben Marston. I have served food and beverage at the Portland Center for Performing Arts for 10 years now. I'm very proud to be, I consider myself sort of an ambassador of Portland to the world. And because we serve people from all over, it's not just Portland people, but people from all over, which makes this officially an issue of global significance. I work for Aramark, and Aramark does have a policy that sick people should not come to work. But without the paid sick leave, this policy is just paying lip service to the issue. Am I just fading in and out?
No, you're fine.
I'm trying to find the sweet spot here. But they're just paying lip service to this issue. Big corporations spend a lot of time cultivating the impression that they care about the values of our community because, frankly, at the end of the day, they do business here at our consent, and especially Aramark because they're contracted by the city to do business here, and therefore they're accountable to the city. This is a chance for these businesses and corporations that talk about sustainability this and green that and to put their money where their mouth is and really take action on an issue that that is really significant for our community. I feel like for anyone who lives here, who has family here or loved ones here, I cannot see why you would oppose this, even if you are a business person here. Perhaps your children, while they're going to college to get those great jobs as doctors and lawyers, are working at a restaurant right next to me in the meantime. So this is something I feel like it's kind of like Sting said, I hope the Russians have children too. I hope the business interests of this community have children too. It's interesting to me that a lot of the pushback has been about cost. And the fact of the matter is, the cost is out there. And currently, we are the ones that are paying that cost. And for any business interest to say that this is an unacceptable cost for them, by implication, that means they think it is an acceptable cost for our community. That they think that we should pay for that and not them. And I don't think that's right. I don't think that's fair. I think it demonstrates a contempt for our community. And I'd also like just to respond very quickly to the gentleman from the Oregon Restaurant and Lodging Association who spoke to what workers prefer as far as shift switching and things like that. I'd really like to ask him how much time he's actually spent on the shop floor speaking to actual workers, as I do every day. I've experienced myself countless stories of people coming to work sick. It happens every year. A bug goes around, four or five people end up catching it because people come to work sick. This happens all the time. The workers I've talked to, I'm not sure who the gentleman from the restaurant association has been talking to, but the workers I've talked to on a daily basis strongly support this proposal, and I hope that you will stand by them and not allow business interests to take all the teeth out of this proposal, as they so often do at the federal level. And again, I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks very much for the questions. If not, I think, unless there's anyone else signed up, I think we have completed today's testimony. Take a few minutes for council comments and talk about the next steps, which are, of course, that we will be having another time-certain hearing 4 weeks from now. After Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Saltzman and the appointees they name work together on this issue. There's an old saying in carpentry to measure twice and cut once, and that's very much the intent of this process, is for this council to get it right when we consider and adopt important public policy, something the public has a right to expect, not only that we have an open and inclusive public process like we've had today. I really appreciate the excellent testimony we've heard from both supporters and people who are concerned or opposed to this this proposal. So this is the hallmark of how we should do this. And again, I think the extension of that ethic into the focused process that Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Saltzman are going to lead on behalf of the council is, I think, a very appropriate step. So other comments before we close today's discussion?
If we could get some guidance from you and from Commissioner Fritz about how best for us to frame follow-up questions. One of the things that struck me about this hearing is whether people were for it or against it. We had a lot of interesting suggestions about how to potentially strengthen it, which I'd like to know more about. And there were also some questions that came up that I thought were good questions, and they may very well have easy answers, or they may require a little more work. And normally what we do at a hearing like this is we bring three or four staff people up and we give them the assignments. Poor Tom is just overwhelmed in his current job, and we don't want to add to it. But what is your pleasure in terms of how we would frame questions for follow-up, and how we would and to whom they would go, and what process you'd like to follow?
Suggestions?
Well, we're certainly actually, we have a lot more time than we had last year, so I'm very happy to receive emails, as is Tom, with specific suggestions. We are keeping a running list. We also are appreciating folks who'd like to volunteer to be on the task force. We have some folks in mind, and we want to make sure that it's a balanced group. But if council or folks in the community would like to volunteer to be on that task force, we will be starting work on Tuesday, so there isn't all that much time. But we will be posting a list of the issues that we're going to be asking the task force to discuss, and continuing to take suggestions over the 3 weeks, well, over the 2 weeks for the initial two meetings, and then coming to a set of suggestions. The task force, to be clear, is not going to be voting. It doesn't have to get to consensus. It's framing the issues and giving the council options.
So that sounds great. And one issue that I have furthermore, if I could, Mayor, is there are some questions that came up that are probably more in the nature of like legal questions, where, for example, I've had, again, people on both sides of this raise a question about how it dovetails with Oregon Family Leave Act, Federal Family Leave Act, whether it's aligned or not. I don't know the answer to that, but it seems to me that that's uniquely a question that we could pose to council and say, right, could we get a little primer on this? And likewise, there are some questions that came up about the experience in other jurisdictions. And one of the things that struck me, Steve, when you mentioned San Francisco, is in addition to the success of their sports franchises, I took my daughter there recently for a 3 or 4 day trip because she wanted to go to a concert. And, you know, San Francisco has a very substantial sales tax that you pay when you shop and go to a restaurant. They also have an additional charge, which I believe goes to cover health care for workers. It is extremely expensive. There's no such thing as an affordable hotel room, and most middle-class people can't even think about living in. It's also the number one tourist destination in America. It's hard to get flights there. It's hard to get hotel rooms there. It's hard to get restaurant reservations because everyone wants to go there and spend money in a place that is completely out of sight. And yet they have found a way to make these things work. So I think that's very instructive. With all the things that they have put in place, including a city sales tax, the economy is still booming, and it is a success story, what's happening in San Francisco. I obviously want to make sure I understand the lessons learned from San Francisco and Seattle. So there's some legal questions, some definitional questions, and then some sort of history stuff. So we'll put those, I guess, in emails, and then if if they are purely legal questions, should we also copy the city attorney's office?
Yes, Catherine Reif is the city attorney who's been working with us on this, so you can certainly ask her directly. We're communicating very well, And we'll make sure that those questions get put on the table for the public, too. We did have some good suggestions at the forum that we held last week from business owners who have had their attorneys looking at it. So clearly, we all want to put forward something that's going to work. So private business owners and employees are also, and advocacy groups are also welcome to give us suggestions on language changes.
Let me flesh that out a little more and make sure that, that we are capturing what you've heard in the forums and also here. It seems to me that we've got questions of interpretation. That is, you know, if you're driving a truck through Portland, are you subject to the ordinance or not? That's an example. We've got proposals for amendments, whether it's exceptions or otherwise, or enhancements or otherwise. And then we have the sort of scenarios questions of how have the other ordinances worked. I know you've done some of this work already. And again, let's test the draft against scenarios that we've heard here. So again, the goal is to both flesh out the suggestions that have been made for changing the ordinance, understand what the language does or doesn't do, and then test it against reality in all the different ways that people, or as many of the different ways that people work as we can manage. I think if we're working off all three of those levels, we're going to, you know, both be respectful of everything we've heard and increase the quality control.
Yes. And I think there's two other pieces. We've heard some requests for particular businesses or types of businesses to be exempted, so we're going to need to look at that. And the other requests that we heard were for things that are not part of this ordinance, but there are things that the city might be able to consider, the incentive programs, business license tax, other things which are not, they are raised as part of this issue, but they're things that we, with all of our free time while you're looking after all the bureaus, Mayor, can look at as legislative issues.
That's a good point.
Is it your intention to report back to your colleagues about a week before the next first hearing so that we would have time to digest what your recommendations are, review what some of the other suggestions were, and decide whether individually you want to bring amendments?
Yes.
Okay. Commissioner Novick, anything else?
Just one more thing. Commissioner Fritz, do you happen to have, and if you don't, I could ask somebody in my staff to try to dig it up, a list of the 145 countries that have some mandated paid sick leave? Because I noticed just looking at Wikipedia that it included both the sort of left-leaning countries you'd expect, like Finland, but also, for example, Singapore, which one of my most capitalist friends always holds up as a shining example of capitalism. So I'd be curious to see what the other 144 are.
Well, I think it's maybe more instructive to look at which are not on that list, and then which industrialized companies and countries in particular. Liberia had been a country that hadn't provided paid sick leave, and I looked that up, and they recently adopted one. Two of the countries that I think currently don't are Papua New Guinea and Swaziland. But pretty much most other industrialized countries provide some measure of paid sick leave.
And Commissioner Saltzman, I'm not sure if you're still with us or if you have indeed gone back to bed like you should have done.
His handsome face is still with us.
So I don't know if you have any comments or requests at this point.
I think he's watching, but he had to disconnect.
Okay. Yeah, we're not going to force him to speak. So
Commissioner Fritz, because it's been a long afternoon, could you just also remind us again of what your current timeline is?
We will have 3 weeks for the task force process. And what I'm looking for today from council is some head nods that, yes, this or something like this is something that you are interested in pursuing and bringing back to council. Because what I don't want the task force to do is to have lots of hearings, lots of testimony like we just had today, do it, don't do it. One of the things that I heard today is that we have universal agreement that we'd like the state to pass something. But given that, we also heard very clearly from our state legislators who came to talk to us at the beginning that they would like us to pass something before they get too heavily into the session. So my goal is to have a vote on this the first or second week of March, making sure that we do take the time to look at the details, give the opportunity for council to provide amendments after reading the report from the task force. So our first task force meeting is next Tuesday. There'll be one the following week, and then I think it's the Tuesday of the third week we would be filing the ordinance to put it back on the calendar that Thursday, bring it back. I think it's the Wednesday. It's not quite 4 weeks. It's 3 weeks and 6 days because of a planned absence. But then, again, we wouldn't be voting. That would be a hearing so that everybody would be able to comment on the proposed amendments, if any. and then we would be voting the following week, potentially March 6th.
Well, if you're polling us, let me maybe just kick it off. First of all, I appreciate the time you have spent with me and our office bringing us along. I am fully supportive of the concept before us, and I believe, based on what I've heard tonight, there's some ways we could potentially strengthen it. I'd like to work with my colleagues toward that end. I am also prepared in early March to cast a vote, and the framework you've suggested, which is we would adopt something and then delay implementation to give the legislature the opportunity to act, I think is good policy, and primarily because I think we have something within our reach here that is even more impressive than joining the ranks of Seattle and San Francisco, which after all they are rival cities, and we would not be ahead of them. I think we could do something that actually they can't claim, which is we can be the second state in the nation to have a uniform standard that applies to all workers, workers regardless of where they live. And I think that many of the concerns that we've heard tonight, this afternoon, about potential inconsistencies and record-keeping problems are actually cured if we had a uniform standard statewide. So I think if we have it within our reach through our actions to prompt and encourage the legislature to address this statewide, I think that would be even a more substantial legacy. So I appreciate the approach, and I'm very comfortable with it.
Likewise.
And same here, in that I've heard very compelling public health, human, and economic arguments here in this hearing today for why we should proceed. I've also heard a compelling argument both in our conversations and with our state legislative delegation, as well as here, that it's appropriate for the city of Portland to act and act in a way that encourages legislative action but at the state level, but doesn't depend on it or delay for it. So I'm very comfortable with the process that we have in front of us, in which we'll make sure that the issues that have been brought forward help to improve the draft, and that we bring that draft back here in 4 weeks for another public hearing and then vote on it in second reading. I plan and presume the week after that. So that schedule is very comfortable to me, and I think responds to both the public concern that we get on with it and gives us enough time to, once again, measure twice and cut once.
Well, did you want to say anything else? Thank you. And I know from talking with Commissioner Saltzman that he's also agreeable with that timeline and feeling ready to move forward with something in March after the task force process. The task force process sincerely is going to look in detail at all of the suggestions we've received. Just some of the ones I heard today that are added to the list, the issue of perishable goods delivery, the federal and marine employment law issue.
I was going to ask Commissioner Novick, since he's formerly of the Justice Department, if we could get a comprehensive memo on the Jones Act, which I know you are one of the one of the foremost authorities on that important piece of legislation.
I appreciate that. We'll get right on it.
Happens that Jones was my maiden name, so I'm very interested to find out what's in that act. We heard that we should consider exempting businesses consider exempting for some classes, look again at the profit margin, whether that should be part of the equation. The issue of employees who work partially in Portland is certainly something that we had already had on the list for attention. Considering more paid time off for minimum wage workers with no benefits, which is kind of the counter of looking at very highly paid workers with benefits and whether this is necessary there. Looking at paid time off, especially with SEIU contracts, and more other issues than I can list. We did have the open forum last week. I'm going to one with Venture Portland. I'll be meeting with the Small Business Advisory Council, and I believe I've been invited to the Portland Business Alliance to talk with them. So there's a lot of work that will be done over the next 3 and 4 weeks. I am so grateful to everybody who is still here 6 hours later, 4 hours later, to Andrea Peluso and the team who have done such a great job, Jeff Anderson and UFCW workers. This is about unions. This is about people who are not in unions. It's about employers and employees. And it makes me proud to live in a city where we care about these values and where we've devoted this amount of time plus a year's time beforehand to delving into these value issues and figuring out how can we make things better at the state level, at the national level. and that this city council, as was the council in December, because let me be clear that Mayor Adams and Commissioner Leonard were ready to bring this forward in December. We delayed it because of the retail holiday season. We didn't want to impact small businesses. And it's important to note that, yes, many businesses are struggling right now. Many employees are struggling right now, too. So it works both ways, that we need to be very considerate of people who are working hard to make ends meet. We need to craft this ordinance in a way that takes care of people who are trying to do the right thing, both employers and employees. We're never going to take care of all of the bad actors in either sector, but what we're going to do is put forward something that I can be proud of as a city council member. This council is committed to making a difference in the lives of the people who live in Portland. And in this action that we're going to be taking in March, we can move the whole nation forward and get to join the rest of the industrialized world. So thank you very much, and thank you, Mayor, for your support. I know that you have a lot of other top priorities, as do others on the council. Making time on the agenda in January, in the first month of your term, is hugely significant, and I'm very grateful.
Thank you. Thanks for a great public hearing. Thank you all for staying. And we are adjourned until next Wednesday. Good job.
Thank you. Nice work.